Ring the bell. We've done it again. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates to 4.875 fixed. Lower your monthly payment, get cash out, pay off credit cards, and best of all, make no mortgage payments for 2 months. Lock in this incredible 4.875 rate and get your cash in as little as 14 days. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
5.81 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah. It's a big night.
Huge.
A big night.
Yep.
They can't lose.
They're
not allowed to lose. I know that. Yeah. I know that. My famous line, like, they're allowed to.
They are.
No. I say no.
Not tonight. Well,
not tomorrow night.
Well,
and not Friday night
for sure. But I mean, let's focus on tonight I do think that Phoenix is a little bit of a tough spot. Phoenix has given the Warriors trouble in the past, and so it's not a guarantee even without KD. But you're right. They can't lose this one.
Their voice, John Bloom, joins us at 4:15. Greg Anthony.
I love John Bloom.
I know you do.
Yeah.
A lot. Probably not as much as I do.
It's close.
But a lot.
Yep.
How much you love John Bloom? A lot. Anyway, Greg Anthony also is going to join us a little bit after 5 o'clock. And then Warriors and Suns tonight on 95.7 The Game. You got this one, Grandy?
I do. And it's also on TNT, and that's Greg Anthony's calling the game on TNT.
Greg Anthony calling the game on TNT. The Warriors on a hell of a stretch of national TV games. And so tonight is no different. We're live in the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk Righteously Brewed here in San Francisco, and taking your phone calls. Hi, Fred in Richmond. What's going on, man? Thank you for calling.
Hey, what's up, Willard and Dibs? I was just calling to congratulate you on holding on your end of the bargain. I was the caller that called last Monday about the face painting, so you held up your end. I really appreciate that.
Hey, Fred, I do not ever run from those situations. In fact, I think I spent $17 on those materials.
Dang.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I had to make sure that they were going to arrive on time. They came late Sunday night, and I was ready to go yesterday, Fred. So thank you.
All right. Yeah. And Dibs, just relax on the Jimmy Butler slander right now, okay? The real Warrior fans, we were in the dumps about 2.5 months ago. Let's just be happy that we're in a playoff hunt. We're going to make a run. Steph had a very disappointing game, but I think Houston tipped their hat a little bit. I don't understand why Ime Udoka did that, but the Warriors see them in the second round or maybe in the Western Conference Finals. That will not happen. That's a fact. Dylan Brooks, he's a bum. He had an amazing game. How many times would that happen in a 7-game series? Think about it. Thanks for having me on, y'all.
Okay, Fred.
Yeah, thank you, Fred, for the face paint peer pressure. The FPPP is what that was, because you pressured him and you took it. And
I don't
you
even
did
remember it that way. Was there a lot of pressure?
No, there wasn't.
I think he brought it up, and I think I just, like, dude, if they go 3-1, I'll do that.
I'll
be happy to do that.
Exactly, and you were happy to do it.
I'd be thrilled for them to go 3-1 this week.
And I'm not sitting here slandering Jimmy Butler. I'm just looking at a game where Jimmy Butler to me, to my eye, and I watched it now twice, was not as impactful as I think that playoff Jimmy has been in Miami. And when you have a game where Ime Udoka has taken Steph Curry completely out of the game, this is where I would look for Jimmy Butler to be a little bit more impactful. I see what they've been with Jimmy. I see the record with Jimmy and Steph. I see how much that he has changed their fortunes. They went from a 10 and 11 seed, a play-in team, to being maybe a 4 seed,
maybe,
for crying out loud,
maybe,
if things break their way. So
big
I get
night.
All that. I'm not slandering Jimmy Butler. I look at Sunday's game, and I do wonder if he could be more impactful at times when they need that.
Okay, I think the bigger question, because I don't think you're slandering Jimmy Butler, the bigger question is this one that is, by the way, our engaging Dubs poll question, which is the idea of a different Jimmy in the playoffs. Fascinating to me, and I mean that now. Fascinating to me, because even our YouTube poll right now, do you expect a different Jimmy in the postseason? I voted no. 71% of you on YouTube have voted yes. Now, again, that's not do you want, that's do you expect.
Right.
Do you expect a different Jimmy in the playoffs? The only way I would expect a different Jimmy in the playoffs is the same way I expect that, I guess, out of sort of every player in the NBA, which is that things do get ramped up a little bit. But I don't equate that to shooting. I just don't. And I will, if I was, you know, if you're into prayer, hit your knees tonight and pray that you don't see a different Jimmy in the playoffs. That's how they got here. That's why I'm fascinated by it. I'm truly confused by the idea that a Warrior fan has watched what they've done since the trade deadline, watched the impact that he's had, not just with his own numbers, but with what he's done for everyone around him, completely walked in, snapped his fingers, and created a completely different Warrior basketball brand this year. Yet you want him to be something different. I want him to be exactly, literally, a carbon copy of what he's been, because it has led to the Warriors being one of the best teams in the NBA. Do not change, Jimmy. Be you. That's it.
Well, I want Jimmy to adapt to the situation. And Sunday, the situation, in my opinion, called for him to be different than what he was. And I am not expecting him to be playoff Jimmy from Miami. And I'm looking at his playoff log for his career. And in every game in which he shot more than 25 times, his team is 9-0. Miami 9-0 when he shot it 25 times. Now, you're not looking for Jimmy to shoot it 25 times. So when we talk about playoff Jimmy, and I'm looking at these games, 42, 32, 47, he had 56 in a win over Milwaukee just 2 years ago.
Out of necessity.
Playoff Jimmy.
Yeah, necessity.
Out of necessity. So I'm not looking for that.
No other
I'm looking
players.
At a blend between I'm just going to make the right play and shoot 7 times in a loss, and a guy who shot 17 of 33 in a win over Milwaukee. For me, there's a middle ground, and I'm not seeing it. I didn't see it Sunday. That middle ground is what I'm looking for.
I'm curious as to why. That's literally my point. I don't know why any of you want anything different from Jimmy. It's been awesome. It has literally unlocked the Warriors. All of them. Everybody looks better.
Right. Not
except
every game.
Well, no. Nobody right. does anything every game.
Well, fine.
Steph scored 3. The last week, he scored 52.
Jimmy was 1 of 7 against Orlando, and they won.
Right.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Steph scored 56.
Exactly.
Yes.
So
that's the whole point. Every game, every possession is its own living, breathing thing. I don't want Jimmy. Like, it's almost like you guys want Jimmy to play basketball the way I play Madden. And I haven't played Madden in probably 5 years. And the reason is because my kids kick my ass
right.
every time. Because I don't know how, with 17 different buttons in front of me, y'all are able to just like drop back and start deciding right there. Am I supposed to hit A, X? How about the button that's on the back?
R2,
of the,
yeah.
Whatever. Like, what do you? I just predetermine what I'm going to do. We're going slant route to the inside receiver. If it's open, great. If it's not, I'm going to throw a pick and lose. But that's how I play Madden. And it seems like some of you want Jimmy Butler to play basketball that way.
No.
No.
I want him to, like,
he's going to make
adjustments.
He's going to. No, he does. He's literally on every possession doing what he thinks the play is calling for him to do. And it's made the Warriors amazing. And now we want him to be something other than that? I don't want more shots. Unless that's what that play calls for.
Right.
If that moment, not the game, not the playoff series, if that possession calls for a shot, then shoot it. If it doesn't, then don't. Just keep doing what you're doing. He's been incredible.
He's been great. They've been great.
Yes.
And I'm not going to give him all the credit because...
But the timing's pretty uncanny, don't you think?
Well, yeah. I mean, give him all the credit for Orlando when he made one basket and they won. So
I don't know why we're focused on that game.
We're focused on everything, Mark. And you're trying to like throw a blanket over the Jimmy experience and
making
it all about Jimmy.
Yes.
And it's not all about Jimmy. So Steph didn't play against Miami and Steph didn't play... in the game against Atlanta, and they lost them both. So
right, because
is that about Jimmy?
No, they need them both, Dibs, and Jimmy's the one who just arrived. We watched
right.
a full half season.
I mean, Jimmy's
season.
A 35-year-old pro.
We watched a season and a half of Steph without a Jimmy with him, and they can't even make the playoffs.
Yes, and we saw two games of a Jimmy without a Steph, and
they can't even
beat
make
Atlanta.
The playoffs. Right, so they
right.
need them both. And they need them both to be exactly who they've been when they're together.
Well, when they're not the same because Steph Curry gets taken out of a game, then Jimmy needs to be somebody else.
Yeah, well, then you're... No,
or not. You're going to lose.
Yeah,
and
you're
going
to lose. And by the way, I don't think him being someone else wins you that game either. It just doesn't.
Well, we don't know because he decided to not be the Jimmy that he's been.
He did not decide
33
that.
Shots, 29 shots, and you look at his Miami run, and you don't have Steph Curry doing anything.
No,
Jimmy could have been more impactful, and he wasn't.
No, I just the hardest possible disagree.
Yeah.
You had three other players knocking down threes like at a very high level, and I promise you.
And you lose.
Yes, and you lost. And that is not all on Jimmy Butler, and it's for 100 different reasons, as we've discussed. But this idea that those players were able to knock down those threes and that Jimmy and his presence have nothing to do with that, like literally those guys are open because the defense is focused on Steph and Jimmy. And so him shooting the ball, that's just forcing it, which is also known as bad basketball.
Right.
Like, you really think Jimmy doesn't know what he's doing? I mean, is that the...
Jimmy knows what he's doing.
Okay, then Jimmy knows what he's doing.
But I don't think that Jimmy is doing what the team needed on Sunday. And again, I'm small sample sizing it because you're right. We could look at the whole Jimmy era, and they've won a ton of games. And I look at a game where he's shooting it 17 times, 13 times, 16 times, and then you have a game where he shoots it 7 times when Steph Curry is completely neutralized and you only got up 7 shots. That, to me, is a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, I got a lot of faith in this guy. That seemingly, maybe you don't, or maybe a lot of you don't. I don't know.
I had faith in him from the jump. I'm looking at one game.
It doesn't sound like it today.
Well, from one game.
Why would we do that? Why would we focus
because
on...
Because it's what we're doing. We're looking at one game.
No, we're not. We're literally answering the question of what do you need to see in the postseason. The postseason.
If he goes 4-for-7 in the postseason and Steph goes 1-for-10, you're out. You're gone.
You're going to lose that game, yes.
You're going to lose the series.
And it's hysterical that you point to Jimmy when Steph scores 3 points.
Well, we look at Draymond, too.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right, some more phone calls on this. 888-957-9570. A lot of you want to weigh in. We're coming to you next. John Bloom, voice of the Suns, in an hour on Willard and Dibs.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
We got Lucas dancing in the other room.
Over what?
I don't know. Arsenal played well today, didn't they? Yeah, was that it?
I mean,
was that it?
Biggest win in the last 8 years of Arsenal football.
Those were some beautiful goals. Those were
right.
they were. They were beautiful.
Shout out Declan Rice with a brace versus Madrid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That means he scored
playing
twice.
Well was an understatement too, by the way.
What's that?
Well, it's funny because a brace, that means he scored twice for those who are not soccer fluent, and it's the only time we can get these two.
A brace, that's what you have on your leg.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. A brace in soccer is 2 goals, and the only engagement we can get from these two as we prepare for a show is right now, talking about a soccer team that nobody in our audience gives a crap
about. That's not true. That's not true.
I got stuff to add on Jimmy if you want
it. They're locked in. They just don't turn into giggling school children for our show the way they do over an Arsenal
goal.
That's
accurate.
That was what was funny earlier today.
In the quarterfinals of the Champions League.
The two of you look, you celebrate goals for Arsenal the way Phil Mickelson celebrates Masters wins. Like, just awkward body movements. Yeah, just like...
Or a six-year-old girl gets tickled.
Right, there were chests bumping off of each other in a small hallway. It was just weird.
I think we did not chest bump.
Yeah,
we high five.
There was contact.
You don't know what to do with yourself when you see a beautiful soccer goal.
You're supposed to run. That's what soccer players do.
That's true.
You run.
We were in a confined space. There wasn't much room to run.
I remember I was in the hallways of a radio station when Landon Donovan had that great goal in the World Cup. Was it against what's the country that starts
Slovenia.
With an A? No, it was the country that starts with an A.
Algeria.
Maybe it was Algeria.
Yep.
Yeah. But remember that goal?
Maybe.
And I ran. I ran out the hall where you still needed a key card to get back in. But that's what you do when there's a big goal. You run. So next time, try that. Run.
World Cup, 14 months away.
It's coming.
Here.
Like a freight train.
It's coming here.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. You going to be there?
Of course.
Okay.
You won't.
Probably not. 888-957-9570. Got a lot of people want to talk about Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler. John Bloom, voice of the Suns in an hour. Greg Anthony in less than 2 hours. He's on the TNT broadcast for the game tonight. Let's do it. T in Oakland has been patient. Hi, T. Thanks for calling. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Obviously, I'm a big 95.7 The Game fan as well as a big Warrior fan.
Yeah.
And when I'm watching the games, normally, before the game starts, you know, we on the radio, we talking about the Warriors got a great chance to win against this certain team, or we might have to play a better game to beat this team. If you've noticed lately, we've been saying that they got a good chance to win, we lose those games. We went into those three monster games saying, hey, we're going to have to really play hard, and we did. So I was happy about that. I don't want to really see Jimmy change the way he plays. I think the way he's playing helps us become successful. But what I do, what I would like to see is him maybe take some more shots when he does drive inside the paint a lot. And it's a layup open, and then he'll throw it back out. So maybe that's a chance that we can have more success that way. And then also, I'm seeing in games that when Steph is not on and we have a lot of turnovers, we lose those games. So maybe that's the game, or maybe that's what people are saying when they want to see playoff Jimmy. Playoff Jimmy is the type of player that sees what he needs to, I won't say aggressive, sees what he needs to up the ante a little bit more when the lead player is not playing up to par. So I'm looking for him to do a lot of that more moving forward. You know, if Steph's not on, Jimmy, come on. You got to do it.
Yeah, so see, here's how – T, thank you. Here's kind of how I see it. You know what I'm starting to hear a lot of, and I want to push back on, is the idea that Jimmy Butler in these playoffs is going to look like Jimmy Butler has in playoffs past. I would personally let go of that, let it float out into the ocean. Different team, different scenario, different age, different everything. Jimmy Butler better not go into these Warriors playoffs trying to do the stuff he did in Miami. Literally would be the worst idea that I could think of. Oh, Jimmy, go try to get 45 tonight. When Steph Curry's on your team and your ball movement is literally the whole core of who you are, Jimmy has come in here, as many other players have, and said, this is some of the best basketball in terms of a concept that I've ever seen in my whole career. He's also 35 years old. Like, when I hear a lot of people say what I'm hearing them say about playoff Jimmy, the phrase that goes into my head is forcing it. I don't want that. And I don't know why that would even happen. This team has never asked Jimmy to do that. What's his biggest scoring game of all? As a Warrior.
With the Warriors?
Yeah. What's the most he's scored as a Warrior?
He put up 27 in the win against Memphis.
Wait, he has not ever scored 30 in a Warrior game?
No.
Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler has never scored 30 as a Warrior.
No, he's got 27, he's got 26, 3 25s, and a 24.
Okay.
And a 23.
I love it.
A 21, a 20, and he had 13 on Sunday.
Wow.
When the chef had 3.
Incredible.
Yeah,
incredible.
Less than incredible.
He's
when you have 13.
He's never scored 30 in a game, and some of you want him to suddenly tick up and score 48.
No.
Why?
Not that.
Yes.
No.
That's what playoff Jimmy means.
No, it doesn't.
I want
when you look
this
at playoff Jimmy. When you look at the last time that Jimmy was in the playoffs and, you know, they lost to Denver in five, he didn't have 30 in that series. And if you go to the series before, when they actually beat Boston in seven, he had 35 once, but he had 27. He took 25 shots, 21 shots, 21 shots. That's what I'm looking for, is a more aggressive and active Jimmy, somebody who's going to try to shoot the ball more than seven times in a game where Steph Curry's being neutralized. I'm not looking for him to get 40 or 30, but I'm looking for more than what he gave on Sunday. That's all.
Yeah, and again, this has been so devastatingly effective for the Warriors. I hope Jimmy just does exactly what he's been doing all along. Let's go to Miguel in the city. Hi, Miguel. Thanks for calling Willie and Dibby.
Hey, love you guys. What's going on? Good afternoon.
What's up?
Hey, man, are we still talking about this?
Yes, we
Jimmy
are.
Is just fine. Yeah, I can't believe it. I'm glad he has Curry. He's not listening to us. I wish our IQ here in the Bay Area, it looks like, sounds like we don't know what we're looking at. He's composed. He has wisdom. He doesn't come out of his play. And he's a great example. You know, he's been doing great. So let him do what he's been doing. We're in the playoffs now. We weren't there 2 months ago. So let's cheer him on. And DPOY for Draymond Green. Let's go, Warriors.
Okay, Miguel,
yeah,
thank you.
Miguel.
Yeah, the odds, just some fresh odds on some of that stuff. And Draymond continues to be incredibly heavy favorite. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander continues to be an incredibly heavy favorite as far as the MVP.
Yeah, I do think that both of those are probably a wrap. Draymond's going to win it, and he probably deserves it. And the big campaign is, how can a guy that good on defense only have one DPOY in his career? And he's helped by the fact that, you know, Wembanyama didn't get 65
for
games,
sure,
and Jaren Jackson Jr. didn't quite get 65, and so the shot blocker is normally the guy who wins that award. And when two of the biggest shot blockers are out based on this new cockamamie rule, and Draymond's going to play 65, he's going to get it done.
Does Jaren Jackson not have enough? I actually think Jaren Jackson Jr. just hasn't played very well this year. But I don't know where he's going to end up on games. Yeah, he's already at 71 games.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Jaren's eligible. He just hasn't been good enough. And Memphis has kind of fallen off so hard of late. How about Joe in Oakland? Hi, Joe. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
Yeah, I bet you Draymond Green's glad that Jimmy Butler's in town, because every morning I talk derogative about Draymond Green, so now Jimmy gets to hear some of that stuff. Wow. I mean, when you're in the Bay, man, it's not Baller Nation. You know, conversation sooner or later comes up about the Lakers when you're in the Bay, you know. And I'm from Detroit, and I hate to hear that shit. Excuse my mouth.
All right, Joe. I didn't even understand where that call was going in the first place. I didn't get it. He said every morning something happens with Draymond. We've only been on in the morning 1 week out of our 4 years here, so I have no idea about that.
Right.
And then the conversation went to the Lakers, and then the conversation, then it went to a bad place.
Go on.
Yeah.
Is where it went.
All right, let's onward. Grant in Oakland. Hi, Grant. What are you doing?
Showing at the house at the moment.
Okay.
What are you doing on the radio?
Yeah, like I'm here in San Francisco talking to my friend Dan.
Yeah, so yeah. My take is this, like, let's not pull a Kevin Durant on Butler. You know, like, oh, we didn't necessarily run him out of town, but, like, I remember when Kevin Durant was like, oh, I'm shooting too much, and then he starts passing the ball, he's getting 8 to 10 assists, and, well, he's not shooting enough. And it's like, we could always break it down into one game or one little thing. The bottom line is that guy is really, really, really good. If I had to pick two dudes, I might pick Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler. In fact, they play really awesome defense, and they control the whole court in a really good way. They can guard. If they're going to go against the Lakers, I wouldn't pick two other dudes over them against Doncic and LeBron. And so we got a chance. And it's, the next couple games matter. But, I mean, you know, hating on a guy for whatever, like, oh, you didn't shoot enough shots this game. I mean, he's shoveling the pass. He does so many things that are, like, just, like, savant. He's a savant of the game. And that's what he is. And then respect on that. He's been doing this for 16 years, and none of us have, and he's a Hall of Famer. So just give him, just let him do what he does, and then we're gonna win.
Grant, I'm
questioning if, but he won't. The difference between him and Kevin Durant, he won't question himself. I think he can listen to all this. He doesn't care. He's gonna still do what he does.
Oh, that's interesting, Grant. Thanks. Yeah, I appreciate it. I largely agree with you. The only way where I would meet someone halfway on this, sort of through my eyes, is that like, if there's a quarter or a half where something is completely haywire and there's a necessity to it, you know, do you want Jimmy to get ultra aggressive? Like, that scenario may present itself, but the idea in my mind that Jimmy should approach the playoffs that way, oof, that's terrifying to me. That's actually very scary to me. And or it would be scary if I thought that Jimmy was going to do that. But Jimmy's not going to do that. Maybe the fans will do that. But I am very confident that Jimmy Butler is not like, okay, playoffs, time for me to be totally different than what I've been since I've been here at Golden State and we've won most of our games. No, man. Like, you know, he used the word savant. I do. The Warriors have a very smart team. Draymond Green is brilliant. And I've come to believe that Jimmy Butler is, I mean, I've always known he's a great player, but I don't know that he was this heady. And Steph is heady, and Steve Kerr is heady, and they are also bringing up, I think, some heady young players too. Like, I want them to keep doing exactly what they do on every single possession, because I do think more often than not it wins. And again, if they can get into the playoffs starting next week, all they got to do is win 4 out of every 7, and the Rockets can have their scenario and their approach all they want. I like this group of Warriors, if healthy, to have a real good shot against most teams to win 4 out of 7 and outthink the opponent. I like their chances.
I do too, and I like their chances, especially when Jimmy Butler plays the way he did against Denver, where you played the same amount of minutes, basically. You played one more minute, and you shot 13 times, and you got more free throw attempts. You scored 19 points. You were a plus 21. You were much more impactful and physical against Denver. Now, was Houston so dominant defensively that you could only shoot the ball 7 times? I think that's a bit of a cop-out, and I look at what Jimmy has done in most of the games, and I'm not asking for Jimmy to go into Miami playoff Jimmy and shoot the ball 25 times. No, that's not what this team does. You've got Steph, and you've got a certain offense that, outside of Steph, you want to share the ball and you want to set up the three-point shooter. I get that, but I looked at the Houston game, and Steph was taken away, and I thought that was a game where Jimmy could have been more forceful about getting his shot. And, you know, he's shooting the ball about 11 or 12 times a game with the Warriors, which is fine. I'd like to see a couple more, but if those shots don't come, that's fine. But when you shoot the ball only 7 times in a game where your offense really struggles, that's where I scratch my head.
You want him to change after this week, yes or no?
Like, change what?
Change. Do you want him to approach something differently after this week?
I want him to approach it the way he's approached it the majority of his Warrior career, which is not what we saw on Sunday. So, no. I don't want him to change.
Oh, wait.
Sunday,
whoa,
he was...
You saw
Sunday, he didn't. Sunday, he didn't attack the basket. Sunday, he was not offensively impactful. Oh. Hmm. So I want him to be the player that he's been the majority of his time here, where you look at all the games with Steph, without Steph, and he's attacking the basket, he's getting to the foul line, and when he shoots free throws, he usually doesn't miss. And against Houston, I didn't see that. I didn't see him forceful. I didn't see him attacking the basket. He only had 3 assists. I didn't see him really that engaged in the offensive flow.
Well, if I went with your premise that that's true, why do you think that is?
Because Houston was too physical and they were tired. I can't put myself in Jimmy's head. Maybe they were too tough for Jimmy. Maybe they were just too much for Jimmy Butler. I don't know, Mark. I can't put myself in his head.
Well,
what I saw was Draymond Green was off the reservation.
Mm-hmm.
He was, and we can all watch the game and see that Draymond Green, he lost his mental edge. They got to him.
Okay.
Steph Curry was taken away by Amen Thompson, who basically had his hands in Steph's pockets the entire game. And so Jimmy Butler was, to me, very deferential and happy to just dribble, kick it out, and set up shooters.
So, like, even but the idea that the multiple choice answers of why Jimmy would do that, you came up with either he's tired, or like they were too tough for him? Like, does any of that, I know you're joking.
Totally joking.
Does any of that actually make sense to you? Or do you believe that based on the scenario that was presented, a very tall athletic team and a group of officials that did not seem to want to use their breath on that particular day.
Either side.
And role players who were hitting threes. You believe it's possible that Jimmy thought that he was doing exactly what the play called for him to do? Do you think it's possible?
Of course.
Okay, then he played the exact same in this game that he did in all the others.
Well, I don't think so, because when you watch what was happening with the game, and outside of some shooting that was actually good, when you got into the non-Steph minutes and Buddy was on the court, you had a hard time. And, you know, even with the starters, when Steph was out there, you look at the starting unit against their starters, and you got boat raced. And so Steph was doing nothing. Draymond was doing nothing but arguing and getting texts and flagrants. And so that's a time where Jimmy Butler, in my opinion, should take over and force the action. And he didn't.
Well, how would you answer that, Grandy? Do you want Jimmy to be different after this week?
No, I want Jimmy to have the same exact mindset. What makes Jimmy great is he's always willing to do what is best for the team.
Yep.
But I think there's maybe an instance, and I think Dibs has a point that Sunday might have been an instance where what was best for the team was a little more aggression. I don't want Jimmy to ever do something that he doesn't think is best for the team, but when Steph is 1-for-10 and can hardly get a look, when Draymond can't play the whole third quarter, it might be best for the team for Jimmy to look to score a little bit more.
I also wonder, like, when everyone goes, well, Steph was 1-for-10. Well, Steph wasn't 1-for-10 until the game ended.
He also it's didn't not make like, a field goal until right, the very end of the first
half. Not like Jimmy knew, like when Steph did get open shots, were all of us looking at the TV like, well, that's a definite miss? Or does Jimmy actually have a point in like, no, let's see if we can get our guy going?
I mean, we could tell.
Let's see if we can get our guy going.
You could tell in the third quarter, once the Rockets went up by like 8 or 10,
they did a great job.
It was a struggle.
Well, by then, you're in bad shape. Now you're in bad shape.
And then you need your other star to score a little bit more. And the whole thing about playoff Jimmy, I think that's that we're not going to see Miami Heat playoff Jimmy because
God,
what was required
not.
In Miami is not
exactly.
required here.
But I hope not.
I do think there's a level where on a night-to-night basis, perhaps there's a moment where you might see a little more aggression.
Let's go to Warriors Chris in Montclair. Hi, Warriors Chris. How's it going?
I got to thank your staff for giving me that name by accident, but I love it and I'm sticking with it.
Okay.
So,
how did that happen, Warriors Chris?
You know, is that basic, you sit in on hold and then they ask you what your name is and you mumble something and then say your name, and so it became Warriors Chris. I love it.
Okay,
I
great.
I should pay a little staff for something.
I think I'm understanding how this came together now. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to disagree with Dibs for a second. Draymond showed up off the reservation. He did become off the reservation. I saw it in his eyes. But other than that, I kind of agree with Dibs, as I think we all do. We love Jimmy. He just needed to be a little more Jimmy. Nobody's asking for him to change. Those are probably people who didn't want him here. If he takes the shot, as opposed to Buddy or even Pods, the chances of him getting fouled are greater than those two guys. So he didn't need to pawn it off so many times. If he could have had a two-man game, or if Draymond could have had a two-man game with Steph where you're putting Thompson in foul trouble or at least concerned about it, you know, crash, you know, just if it could just be some foul pressure, Steph might have actually had a little more room. We might have had people in foul trouble. We might have even been in bonus. So we do want Jimmy to take maybe a couple of those shots away from Buddy, unless we just need the numbers on offense. Hope that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I just think, I mean, all of this, and thanks, Warriors Chris, in Montclair. I look at all of this as, at best, some very, very easy hindsight, which is to say, like, now, like, we keep doing this with the box scores. Like, when you get to the end of the game, well, sure. If he had known that everybody was going to keep turning the ball over, if he had known that Steph was never going to hit a shot, then would he have done it differently? Maybe. Maybe. But I also don't think that him going into some sort of like NBA 2K go mode thinks that this was going to go better either. In fact, I would very vehemently argue that it would not have. against this defense that we're all complimenting. We're all talking about their height and their athleticism. And then we want 6'5" Jimmy to go to the hole and take over with a bunch of refs who won't blow their whistle. Like, it's not a great percentage play at all. And so I get why he didn't do that. I understand when we look at the game at the end after it's over, like, oh, maybe that would have worked. Right, because what they did do didn't work. But it's not a good philosophy, and it's very anti-what Jimmy does. Like, that's not the philosophy of a smart basketball player.
Well, philosophies change, and you look at a game where Steph is 1-for-3 in the first half, and the only one that he made was a 35-foot prayer at the buzzer, and it's clear that Houston was not going to let him catch, dribble, or shoot the basketball, so you go into the locker room and you come out, it's like, okay, if I'm Jimmy Butler, let me get into playoff Jimmy mode. Let me try and see if I can do something to help the offense. And, you know, Steph was 0-for-7 in the second half. You know, through all his efforts, he could not get free. He didn't get a lot of clean looks. And Jimmy Butler, to my eyes, was not that forceful in trying to get him his own stuff.
We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. We got a lot of you that want to weigh in. Promise, just be patient. We're coming. 888-957-9570. Voice of the Suns, John Bloom in a half hour. Greg Anthony later on in the show. We got a Dubs game tonight right here. Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
It's a great question.
Wow, that's a great question.
That's a great question.
That's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
We're going to try to ask John Bloom and Greg Anthony some great questions later on in the show. John Bloom's the voice of the Suns. There is no Kevin Durant tonight. Have you looked at the number?
No.
Want to guess?
Sure, Mark.
All
let's
right,
guess.
Let's do it. Plus or minus. I'll give you a full point in either direction.
Okay.
Full point in either direction. It's time for America's favorite game show on Willie and Dibby. Guess that spread. Okay, here we go. Dan Dibley live from San Francisco with this answer.
Interesting, because Phoenix still kind of needs it, so to speak, but the Warriors need it more, and no Kevin Durant. So, geez, Warriors coming off of a tough loss where Jimmy Butler was a non-factor. I'm expecting Jimmy to be really ramped up. Warriors probably favored by 8.5.
Oh! So close.
So close.
But that's a loss for Dan Dibley, who missed by 1.5. The Warriors are favored by 10.
Oh, by 10?
Full double digit.
Man.
Tonight in Phoenix. Yeah. Suns have lost 6 games in a row. Let's go back to the phones, though. A lot of people want to talk about this. Let's go to Ro in the O. What up, Ro? What are you doing?
Is that my man Mark? Is that my man Dibs? The best boys in town. Shout out to from the Hayward Hill.
You know what? Your timing is great, Ro.
That's my man right there.
Yeah, Kurt is on suspension for the week, so you get to use that line just for this week.
Yeah, I heard he kind of went off the rails a little bit on the last call.
Yeah,
just a touch.
He Draymonded a little bit, but anyway, it's all good.
He Draymonded a little bit, but, you know, we got a real Kurt back in. Give him another week or so.
For sure.
I want to touch on, first and foremost, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. Got in quicker than what I thought I was. And it's Ro from the O, from Oakland, from the town business. I'm a diehard Warrior fan. I got on Warrior gear right now. I want to go check out Splash. I know I'm hearing y'all talk about it, so I want to check it out. But
get the nachos.
To get to my point, it's a good look, huh?
Get the chicken nachos. You can. I hold the sour cream, but you do you. Okay, Ro?
Yeah, I love sour cream, so I'm definitely going to do me.
All right.
But I want to talk about my man, Jimmy Buckets. Now, I know he didn't give us the game, or he's not giving us the game that we're looking for, that 20-30 burger they dropped in Miami, maybe Philly, you know, Minnesota. But we got a different type of team. And what we got to realize, he's changed our culture to some degree, brought the toughness. He brought confidence.
And there you go.
Hello?
We lost you for a second, Ro. I got the word confidence, and we lost you. But you're back. Go ahead. Keep cooking.
Okay, and toughness. He brought toughness. Look at Pop. Look at what he's bringing out of I'm so hyped. I can't even think of Moses Moody. We didn't have that before he came. And the difference, not Wiggins, he commands double teams. People live with Wiggins. If he had a good game, so be it. You know, that's more claps on Steph. Now we got Jimmy to kind of somewhat help with that. So, you know, Dibs, just be patient. You know, I feel like when those playoffs roll around, he's going to show up. And, hey, I appreciate you guys. Y'all have a good day.
Ro, thanks, yeah, man. Thank appreciate you, your call. Even what he said at the end, and I know this is isn't what he meant, but like this whole idea, oh, when the playoffs come, Jimmy's going to show up. Jimmy's been showing up.
He's been showing up.
He's been awesome.
Yeah, at Miami, he was awesome.
But see, why does your brain go there?
But I'm just trying to keep it. I'm trying to keep it a buck.
But why would you look at someone who's been awesome 90% of the time and your brain immediately go, oh, yeah, remember that one game?
No, why are we talking about it today? Why would you do that? Why are we talking about this today?
We're talking about the future.
But why are we talking about this today? It's because of what happened Sunday. That's why we're talking about it.
I disagree.
We didn't talk about this on Friday when they were coming off a win over Denver.
It's been absolutely talked about. It was talked about when Steph had to miss two games, and everybody worried that Jimmy was not able to do it by himself, because we love it in the NBA when a player can do it by himself and he can be that alpha, be that dog. Let's go, man. Let's see you shoot even when you're not supposed to shoot. Don't dare pass the ball when there's something good going on. We want
you to shot it in those games.
Yeah, not all of them.
Well, like, 15 shots against Miami, 12 against Atlanta,
right? But
and 7 against Houston.
With no Steph Curry in two of those three games.
Well, he had no Steph Curry on Sunday, right? Ostensibly.
I don't know why everybody has such a hard time processing this. If you get no Steph, you suck and you lose.
Not always.
Yes.
That's untrue.
Yes. You will go to the playoffs.
Untrue.
It's not untrue.
Well, these are not the playoffs. These are regular season games.
That's what we're talking about. You all want playoff Jimmy. You want him to be someone different when we get to the playoffs. Like, you literally just said that.
We don't want playoff Jimmy.
That's what you've been saying.
I want more assertive Jimmy. I don't want him to shoot the ball 25 times.
This is assertive.
And if you want to talk about playoff Jimmy, and you look at what he did last time he was in the playoffs, he was shooting it 25 times a game.
A totally different team.
We don't want that.
Yeah, that's a totally different
team. And that's what we talk about when we talk about playoff Jimmy. We've never seen playoff Jimmy on Golden State with a player like Steph Curry.
Do you think he lacks assertiveness so far as a Warrior?
It's not about assertiveness. I look at Sunday night, and to me, he lacked the ability or the desire or whatever he lacked. He lacked the scoring punch that they needed. And yeah, you were able to get Buddy Hield, who had a good game, and Pods, he could shoot it. It was great. But beyond that, Steph was a non-factor. Draymond was terrible, and Jimmy Butler was not great. And that's where you bring in Jimmy Butler, and you brought him in to be that dude, and that's a game where you want him to be that guy, and he wasn't. And he wasn't.
No, you brought him in to literally be exactly what he's been.
Right. But in games like that, you want him to be something more.
That's so difficult to point to, like, someone comes in and they're effective 90% of the time, and then on a certain game they're not. Even if I meet you halfway, okay, he was terrible on Sunday. Can't believe the decisions he made. The idiot. He was just sitting back there doing nothing.
Yeah, again, those are your words.
I'm being sarcastic, Dibs. But
you're trying to put that in my court, and that's not what I've said at all.
You did not like what his approach was. You said he looked passive. You said that he did not seemingly. You've compared him to Wiggins. From an energetic standpoint.
Yeah, he was mostly a non-factor.
Are you going to pick on that game and say, we can't have that, Jimmy? We can't have that. And I'm just sitting here going, I don't understand. I don't like, and what that's led to is a debate about whether or not he needs to be, and this the words that keep coming, assertive and aggressive. And all it's like, I cannot for the life of me process how somebody would look at Jimmy Butler as a Warrior and feel that he's lacking with those descriptive words. I just don't see it.
Well, I'm describing one game. And again, you're trying to make this about his entire Warrior run, and that's not what I'm saying.
We're talking about the playoffs. And
yes,
you have
we're
said
talking
you want,
about this you performance. Want, if he goes 4-for-7 in a playoff game and Steph goes 1-for-10, you get swept. So that's if Steph goes one for 10 and he goes 14 for 24, you might win.
So if you're good players.
Do you get that? Are you hearing me?
Are you hearing me?
I'm totally
Luka
hearing
Doncic
you.
Luka Doncic sucked a big one
if
last Thursday.
If Steph is terrible and
so
Jimmy's also bad, you're going to lose.
Yes.
But if Steph is terrible and Jimmy is 14 for 24, you have a chance to win.
That wasn't on the table. The Rockets' defense is not going to allow that.
We don't know that.
Well, yeah, we do.
We know that he went 4 for 7
by the way,
with 3 assists.
Guess what? If he goes 14 to 24, what happens to Pods and Buddy's numbers?
They might go down a little bit.
They're in the toilet.
Well, you might win the game.
Then you probably won't, though. You probably do the exact same thing that you did anyway.
You rely on Pods and Buddy to shoot the three because that's what you did, and they shot more times than Jimmy.
And they did it well.
And you lost by 10.
Right.
So, nice. Good on you. And Jimmy without Steph this year, what's their record when Jimmy plays and Steph doesn't?
Not great.
0-2 is the answer.
Yeah.
So, and those are games where Jimmy was...
That's not totally true because they beat Milwaukee without Steph and Jimmy played.
Okay, so 1-2.
They whipped Milwaukee's butt here at Chase Center the night after Jokic didn't play.
Yeah. And you know what Jimmy did in that game, right? He shot 11 free throws.
Great. How many points did he score?
Assertive. He had 24.
Okay.
Great. He got to the foul line. Well, he attacked the basket.
They led that game throughout.
He was assertive.
They led the
game
throughout.
On Sunday, he was not. He was giving up the ball, and we were kicking it out to a second-year guy.
Milwaukee and Houston.
And Buddy Hield.
Those are the same defensive teams.
No, but all I'm saying is you look at what Jimmy Butler did. That's all I'm saying.
It all sounds to me like a lack of faith in what he sees on the basketball court, which is crazy to me.
No one's had more faith in Jimmy Butler on the station than me from the start.
That's not true.
It's a fact.
You and I sat there and did a show at Splash where both of us disagreed with the move.
Well, we disagreed with the move, but I was more open to the idea. I disagreed with it based on what I thought was going to be. Okay, just
I mean, that's just that's patently not true.
Laugh it off.
That's patently not true.
What did I say that
you
day?
You had more faith in him than anyone on this station.
Why was I dismissive of the move that day?
You tell me. Why were you dismissive?
It was a contract. I was worried about Jimmy Butler not getting a contract and being disgruntled Jimmy. And when he got the deal, I thought, you know what? Great. He's got no reason to be the bad guy now because he got paid and he's out of Miami. I didn't think it'd be this good. I'm not going to pretend and say, yeah, I thought they'd go 20-3 with Jimmy and Steph. But once he got the deal, I was on board.
I'm still curious about why the money seems to be a thing on your end.
Well, the money's always a thing.
Why?
I mean,
that's what great
money
players
makes the world go round.
No, but
why did Jimmy want out of Miami?
Why? Because they didn't value him anymore.
They didn't value him because he wasn't going to get an extension.
Right. But that's what he's worth. That's what a good player in the NBA costs.
Right.
They didn't want to pay it anymore.
So then what did Jimmy do? Jimmy went into full shutdown mode.
Yeah,
right.
That's fine.
So for me, I look at what Jimmy's done, and now he comes here, and now he's getting paid. And so to think about what he's getting paid, that for me is a big motivator as to why Jimmy Butler's now playing the way he's playing.
But I've heard you a few times attach the salary to how he's supposed to play.
Right.
And I would argue that, first of all, A, that's just what they cost. So he's not supposed to have a different approach on the court based on his salary, I don't think. He's supposed to be the best he can be. And what he's been so far, I'd argue, is probably the most underpaid player in the NBA this year. Based on what he has done to the framework of the Western Conference for his salary, I could easily argue that.
Yeah, I would say he's not even the most underpaid guy on his own team.
Well,
Moody making $5 million is more underpaid than Jimmy is.
But Moses is not having an umbrella effect on the playoff chase. Jimmy Butler has walked in here, snapped his fingers, and completely changed the framework of the whole conference.
Pod's making 2.8 is wildly underpaid based on what he's contributing now as a starter.
But you get what I'm saying.
I get your point.
Without Jimmy Butler, the Warriors are not even in this.
Right,
they're
but
not
you bring
in
a guy and you give him
those
$51 million.
Those rest of those guys were all here.
Right. When you give a player $51 million, you're expecting him to be him. You're expecting him to be Jimmy Butler.
And he is.
And he wasn't on Sunday. Well, and that's all I'm saying.
But again, we're talking about who you want him to be in the playoffs. And it sounds to me, and you've said you want him to be someone different. You'd like him to change on some level, even if it's just tighten screws. You'd like him to approach that differently than what he has so far.
No.
And I don't really understand that.
I want him to be the player that he has shown to be with Golden State at times. Not the player that he was on Sunday, and we could run through all the games where he's been that guy getting to the foul line, the reason why they're no longer last in free throw attempts is because of him. So yeah, that's who I want him to be.
Right. And that based on the officiating in that game, I don't think that was available. They didn't want to blow the whistle that night. You've been one of the first ones to say it.
Yeah, either way.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Now come to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.